This is the reading for August 5th. Proverbs 25. These are more wise sayings of Solomon copied by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. God is honored for what he keeps secret. Kings are honored for what they can discover. No one can measure the height of the skies or the depth of the earth. So also no one can understand the mind of a king. Remove the scum from the silver so the silver can be used by the silversmith. Remove wicked people from the king's presence, then his government will be honest and last a long time. Don't brag to the king and act as if you are great. It is better for him to give you a higher position than to bring you down in front of the prince. Because of something you have seen, do not go quickly or take someone to court. What will you do later when your neighbor proves you wrong? If you have an argument with your neighbor, don't tell other people what was said. Whoever hears it might shame you, and you might not ever be respected again. The right word spoken at the right time is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. A wise warning to someone who will listen is as valuable as gold earrings or fine gold jewelry. Trustworthy messengers refuse those who send them like the coolness of snow in the summertime. People who brag about gifts they never give are like clouds and wind that give no rain. With patience, you can convince a ruler, and a gentle word can get through to the hard-headed. If you find honey, don't eat too much, or it will make you throw up. Don't go to your neighbor's house too often. Too much of you will make him hate you. When you lie about your neighbors, it hurts them as much as a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. Trusting unfaithful people when you are in trouble is like eating with a broken tooth or walking with a crippled foot. Singing songs to someone who is sad is like taking away his coat on a cold day or pouring vinegar on soda. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Doing this will be like pouring burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. As the north wind brings rain, telling gossip brings angry looks. It is better to live in a corner on the roof than inside the house with a quarreling wife. Good news from a faraway place is like a cool drink when you are tired. A good person who gives in to evil is like a muddy spring or a dirty well. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor does it bring you honor to brag about yourself. Those who do not control themselves are like a city whose walls are broken down. Esther chapter 5. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner courtyard of the king's palace facing the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the doorway. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the courtyard, he was pleased. He held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther went forward and touched the end of it. The king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What do you want to ask me? I will give you as much as half of my kingdom." Esther answered, "My king, if it pleases you, come today with Haman to a banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared for them. As they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, "Now what are you asking for? I will give it to you. What is it you want? I will give you as much as half of my kingdom." Esther answered, "This is what I want and what I ask for. My king, if you are pleased with me, and if it pleases you, give me what I ask and do what I want. Come with Haman tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for you. Then I will answer your question about what I want." Haman left the king's palace that day happy and content. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and saw that Mordecai did not stand up or tremble with fear before him, Haman became very angry with Mordecai. But he controlled his anger and went home. Then Haman called together his friends and his wife, Zeresh. He told them how wealthy he was and how many sons he had. He also told them all the ways the king had honored him and how the king had placed him higher than his important men and his royal officers. He also said, "I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to come with the king to the banquet she gave. And tomorrow also the queen has asked me to be her guest with the king. But all this does not really make me happy when I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate." Then Haman's wife, Zeresh, and all his friends said, "Have a 75-foot platform built, and in the morning ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go to the banquet with the king and be happy." Haman liked this suggestion, so he ordered the platform to be built. Esther chapter 6. That same night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order for the daily court record to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded that Mordecai had warned the king about Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway and who had planned to kill the king. The king asked, "What honor and reward have been given to Mordecai for this?" The king's personal servants answered, "Nothing has been done for Mordecai." The king said, "Who is in the courtyard?" Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace. He had come to ask the king about hanging Mordecai on the platform he had prepared. The king's personal servant said, "Haman is standing in the courtyard." The king said, "Bring him in." So Haman came in, and the king asked him, "What should be done for a man whom the king wants very much to honor?" And Haman thought to himself, "Who would the king want to honor more than me?" So he answered the king, "This is what you could do for the man you want very much to honor. Have the servants bring a royal robe that the king himself has worn, and also bring a horse with a royal crown on its head, a horse that the king himself has ridden. Let the robe and the horse be given to one of the king's most important men. Let the servants put the robe on the man the king wants to honor, and let them lead him on the horse through the city streets. As they are leading him, let them announce, 'This is what is done for the man whom the king wants to honor.'" The king commanded Haman, "Go quickly, take the robe and the horse, just as you have said, and do all this for Mordecai the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Do not leave out anything you have suggested." So Haman took the robe and the horse, and he put the robe on Mordecai. Then he led him on horseback through the city streets, announcing before Mordecai, "This is what is done for the man whom the king wants to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried home with his head covered, because he was embarrassed and ashamed. He told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him. Haman's wife and the men who gave him advice said, "You are starting to lose power to Mordecai. Since he is a Jew, you cannot win against him. You will surely be ruined." While they were still talking, the king's eunuchs came to Haman's house and made him hurry to the banquet Esther had prepared.
Chapter 18.
After this, Paul left Athens and went to the city of Corinth. In Corinth, he met a Jewish man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Aquila had been born in Pontus, and they had recently come from Italy because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to visit them, and because they made tents for a living as he did, he stayed with them and they worked together. On every day of worship, Paul would discuss scripture in the synagogue. He tried to win over Jews and Greeks who had converted to Judaism. But when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul devoted all his time to teaching the word of God. He assured the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, but they opposed him and insulted him. So Paul shook the dust from his clothes and told them, "You're responsible for your own death. I'm innocent. From now on, I'm going to people who are not Jewish." Then he left the synagogue and went to the home of a man named Titius Justus, who was a convert to Judaism. His house was next door to the synagogue. The synagogue leader, Crispus, and his whole family believed in the Lord. Many Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Don't be afraid to speak out. Don't be silent. I'm with you. No one will attack you or harm you. I have many people in this city." Paul lived in Corinth for a year and a half and taught the word of God to them. While Gallio was governor of Greece, the Jews had one thought in mind. They attacked Paul and brought him to court. They said, "This man is persuading people to worship God in ways that are against Moses' teachings." Paul was about to answer when Gallio said to the Jews, "If there were some kind of misdemeanor or crime involved, reason would demand that I put up with you Jews. But since you're disputing words, names, and your own teachings, you'll have to take care of that yourselves. I don't want to be a judge who gets involved in those things. so Gallio had them forced out of his court. Then all the governor's officers took Sosthenes, the synagogue leader, and beat him in front of the court, but Gallio couldn't have cared less. After staying in Corinth quite a while longer, Paul left for Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila went with him. In the city of Centuria, Aquila had his hair cut since he had taken a vow. From Centuria, they took a boat headed for Syria and arrived in the city of Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. Paul went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. The Jews asked him to stay longer, but he refused. As he left, he told them, "I'll come back to visit you if God wants me to." Paul took a boat from Ephesus and arrived in the city of Caesarea. He went to Jerusalem, greeted the church, and went back to the city of Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul went through the regions of Galatia and Phrygia, where he strengthened the faith of all the disciples. A Jew named Apollos, who had been born in Alexandria, arrived in the city of Ephesus. He was an eloquent speaker and knew how to use the scriptures in a powerful way. He had been instructed in the Lord's way and spoke enthusiastically. He accurately taught about Jesus, but knew only about the baptism John performed. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him home with them and explained God's way to him more accurately. When Apollos wanted to travel to Greece, the believers in Ephesus encouraged him. They wrote to the disciples in Greece to tell them to welcome him. When he arrived in Greece, God's kindness enabled him to help the believers a great deal. In public, Apollos helped them by clearly showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah and that the Jews were wrong.